Welcome into the Irish NFL show. We are just over 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, one of the most important nights of the year. And as the clock begins to tick down on the last few days, with various different teams bringing players in for private jets, yet again, we have a quarterback that seems to be jostling for position, moving up the draft board, Michael Penix Jr. Noel, delighted to have you on board here. Let's get into this Michael Penix Jr. conversation. Over the course of the last week, his name is out there again. He's rising up the boards, and speculation that some GMs see him better than some of the other quarterbacks in the draft. Again, it's all the same stuff for you year in, year out, but it doesn't withstand the excitement that's what's ahead in 2 weeks.
Yeah, Brian, it's great to be on, and as we get closer to the draft, it's I find it so fascinating when it comes to the quarterbacks, how these discussions pop up every year, no matter what the class is. You know, these discussions pop up. You know, we have a certain order when the college season ends, and you think, all right, that's it, they're not going to play another snap, this is the way everybody sees them. But as time kind of ticks over, and you get the combine and you get pro days, suddenly we see players, you know, like Penix, like JJ McCarthy, suddenly shooting up people's boards. We get people like Drake May, who everybody thought was a surefire number two pick, now suddenly for some people seems to be dropping down, and you're kind of trying to dig your way through all this conversation to try and get an actual idea of what way things are going. And we never will know, but I just think it's fascinating to see how it all develops over this time. Is it agents putting it out? Is it teams putting it out? You know, but just it all comes together. And look, for guys like us, it's great to be able to talk about these things and see where we think it's going to actually all end up.
I remember after the Texas game, in which Michael Penix, the championship semifinal, he threw for 430 yards on two touchdowns against Texas, and everybody was raving about his performance. And then when he went into the championship game against Michigan, didn't really have the best of nights, and he kind of fell quickly down the boards again. He went from literally being up there top 10, and maybe it's the Vikings, maybe it's the fact that they have two selections at 11 and 23, and everybody's assuming that they're going to try their best to get up to the top 5. There's a lot of mock drafts going around with Michael Penix going to them that they might sit tight. Do you think he'll come down to 11? I mean, now all of a sudden it's like they're saying it's realistic that he will go top 15, you know, where people are suggesting injury concerns. Yeah, we've seen the coverage, but we haven't seen the coverage enough in terms of when he goes into the NFL, the pocket close, and all the various different conversations. But yeah, someone somewhere is going to take a chance on him. And I wonder, is it someone like the Denver Broncos or the Raiders? We spoke with them previously on podcasts, selecting at 12 and 13. Like, really, if they don't get up there, if they don't make that move up, if the quarterbacks, the top four, which are suggesting are gone, is Penix someone they'll say, do you know what, let's take a chance on it? Sean Payton is that type of head coach. He's, you know, he gambles at times, and maybe this is the gamble that Denver will try again to find the quarterback of the future for them.
Yeah, Denver is definitely a team that I'd link with them. You know, look, when it comes to Michael Penix and making that step up to the NFL, what's the first thing you see when you put his tape on? You see a rocket arm. You know, and coaches love that. When you have a quarterback that has the arm he has, probably potentially the best arm in this class, you know, he can absolutely rocket that ball down the field. And that's a starting point where teams look at that and say, you know what, I like that. We can kind of build around that and we can work from there. But he is a player that has other things as well, you know, coming in. Obviously, he is an athletic player. He's a Heisman runner-up. You know, he talks about the yards he put up there in the games there. Like, this is a guy who has certain traits that will be appealing to NFL teams. You know, obviously, there's other things you look at. ACL history, you know, a couple of ACL injuries, which is something that teams will really have to try and confirm that everything is okay there. He's had a couple of years without any reoccurrence, so that could be on the upswing and looking positive. He's 24. He'll be 24, I think, when the season starts, which some people have put out as a negative. Me personally, you know, I do have a certain issue with older rookies, but not at quarterback. I think at quarterback, you want that bit of maturity and you want somebody who, you know, it's not a negative. Now, it is nice to get someone young, you can all go through, but it's still, for me as a quarterback, I wouldn't be worried about 24 years of age if he can play the position. But yeah, look, Sean Payton is a QB guru. The Broncos do need a quarterback. We speculate the top four will be gone long before the Broncos pick. And this is a guy who could come in. He has a bit of refinement that will be needed to be done. But with the right people around him and the right players around him, he is a player who could translate if everything kind of clicks. So it's definitely the Broncos is somewhere I could see him go if that's the way the board kind of shakes out.
We've been talking over the last couple of weeks about teams that could potentially move back to their own teams to move of moving forward for a quarterback. The Falcons have brought Penix in for a full evaluation and top 30 visit. That strikes me straight away. Obviously, they've done the big deal in the offseason for free agency, bringing in Kirk Cousins. It strikes me as, let's get a full understanding of what he is, because realistically, someone's going to need to jump up. Let's put our evaluation on him so we know if someone wants to come up to 8 and get up ahead of other teams to select him. Or maybe it's a case where maybe J.J. McCarthy drops, not likely at this stage, judging by the nature of what we've seen over the course of the last 3 weeks with reports. But if someone is sitting there at 12, 13, Broncos, Raiders, even someone further down the line, the Vikings at 11, and they need us to go up those couple of slots to 8, the Falcons certainly doing their homework and recognising, okay, we know what we'll get out of this deal. Should it come that way? It'd be interesting to see what the Falcons do at 8 now, because they have the Titans at 7. Looks to me like it's Joe Alt all day and their offensive line guy to put in front of Will Levis. And then with the Falcons and so many different precarious situations in the team in terms of what they need, you wouldn't know where to go. Maybe they're the most likely team to kind of opt out and move down a few slots.
Yeah, when you look at it definitely is a possibility. I mean, look, you say the Falcons will play the game. They'll make it look like they're doing their due diligence on these quarterbacks, and they'll let people know that, you know, we could still do something here. So obviously, then, if somebody wants to come up, you know, you're going to have to pay them. But they are the team that you would think, you know, maybe they could drop back a few slots. I mean, when you look at this draft as a whole, depending on who you listen to, they say there could be between 15, 17, 18 blue chip players in this draft. So the Falcons could potentially drop back 3, 4, 5 spots and still find themselves a really, really good player whilst bulking up then on the draft picks. So they're definitely a team to keep an eye on to see, you know, will they make that move out of there? Let somebody come up for one of these quarterbacks, because, as you mentioned, there's plenty of quarterback needy teams who are within striking distance of maybe moving up to that spot. And for me, having watched what I've watched, like, this is a very good quarterback class on paper at the moment, and from college video, this looks like a good class. So I think teams may see themselves still being able to get a decent player who, if the player can start straight away, is still someone they could bring in and nurture a bit and maybe let sit for a little while and then come in. But the Falcons could absolutely be a beneficiary of a decent trade proposal while still keeping in a good spot to get a good player themselves a few slots back.
I know we've talked a lot about the Bears and rightly so, selecting one, selecting at 9. And 9 last year, they make the change with the Eagles last year in terms of changing spots. The talk has kind of dwindled it slightly over the last week. It seems like a given, and obviously we spoke with Peter King about it in our live show there recently. He felt that the Bears could manipulate the board even from 1 down, but they could manipulate the board with 9. And maybe is the Michael Penix scene kind of falling into the Bears' laps in the sense of someone else, will, you know, if it's not 8, it could be 9, and that's where the Bears come into play. For me personally, I think the Bears have a great opportunity to maybe fall one of these wide receivers. Like, we know where they're going with Caleb Williams. And depending on how the nature of the top end goes with the quarterbacks, that the Bears could sit tight and a wide receiver comes. If there's a wide receiver still there, 6 or 7, I'd be stunned if the Bears were to move out. I think the Bears need to get another wide receiver and bring it, you know, Keenan Allen, you've got DJ Moore, you put all the necessary players around a young quarterback to make this team really challenging in the division. From a Bears perspective, do you say, like, and obviously you're listening to various different podcasts, how likely is it that the Bears would move? Do you think they're comfortable at 9 this year? Where other years you kind of got the sense they wanted to move?
Look, this is a fluid process. It always is with the draft. For me, with the Bears, if any of those 3 wide receivers hit number 9, I think they'll take them. Or Joe Alt. For me, if Joe Alt or any of the 3 receivers hit the 9 spot, I think the Bears take one of those 4 players. I think they'd be mad not to. I think you add that then to your, you know, hopefully blue chip quarterback you're bringing in. And I think if you can get 2 really good players like that, that's great. But if those 4 players don't make it to 9, you know, then maybe you're looking at, you know, something like pass rusher, maybe Dallas Turner or Verse could be an option. And the Bears could potentially drop back 3 or 4 spots and still get one of those players. So again, as I say, I think it all depends on what way the draft shakes out. Do one of those, you know, blue chip skill players or Joe Alt make it to 9? If they do, I think the Bears take one of them because they'd be mad not to, and they will make your team better. If they don't, then I think the Bears wouldn't be against dropping back a few spots while still maybe looking at then Turner or Verse or Latu if, you know, medical-wise, he looks to be kind of solid. So for me, yeah, that's it. It's fluid. The Bears will, they'll kind of take it as it comes and see from there. And I think if they do decide to move down, I think, again, similar to the Falcons, they're in a very, very similar spot. They could move 3 or 4 spots and still potentially get a pass rusher that they kind of like. So that's possibly how that could, as a fan anyway, that's how I'd like it to work out. But again, you know, we find out when the actual draft happens.
Brock Bowers is an interesting name, tight end, Georgia, you know, the Georgia Bulldogs, and like some of New York and the Jets are picking at 10. And I don't know whether it's a reluctance team, because I wouldn't say Kyle Pitts hasn't worked out, but you know, they went up, they took him very high. Maybe sometimes it depends on who you fall into. Obviously, the Falcons haven't had the best quarterback situations. They look like they've resolved that there with the acquisition of Kirk Cousins. He's an interesting one, and he's not getting a lot of talk, and it seems to be locked in. And a lot of people are suggesting, you look at all the various different mock drafts, that he's going to land to the Jets at the 10. The Jets really need a tight end. It makes sense to go there. Aaron Rodgers, you give Aaron Rodgers another player. But he's a really interesting one. If he doesn't go, like obviously, we're talking about a team with probably offensive line needs as well. Once they stocked up over the years, the Jets still seem like an issue there. It wouldn't, again, similar scenario, if Joe Walsh somehow managed to drop down, they go there. But I'm interested to see what happens with Brock Bowers, because there's so many people that said he could easily go in the top six. If this was another draft and there wasn't a quarterback heavy list of players coming out, that he could easily move himself up the ladder and up the chain. But obviously, because of the scenario, what's ahead of us, he will probably fall to that 10 to 20 range.
I love this player, to be honest. You know, there was a time I was kind of hoping the Bears would be, he would drop to the Bears. But I think with Gerald Everett there now, that's probably not a position the Bears need to be spending a pick on. And because of, as we talked about, the way quarterbacks are starting to move up the board and those wide receivers, you know, you're kind of looking at Brock Bowers being the one that maybe will drop that little bit, potentially even outside the top 10. And for me personally, I think he is a top 10 player in this draft, but he may end up falling outside the top 10 just because of the way everything else kind of shakes out above him. But I think he's a fantastic player. You know, he's obviously tight end. You just look at the stats. I mean, the numbers he puts up is phenomenal. He's a guy who can play out of the slot free as well. You know, the kind of way he's not your normal everyday tight end. He's not amazing at blocking, but he can get in there and mix it a bit if you need him to. I mean, he's 6'4". He's a big guy. But I think whoever ends up with this player, and I don't know where he's going to go, because I was originally, months ago, I thought the Chargers had taken him at 5. That's where I saw him going. But as things develop and move on, you kind of see other things are happening that are just going to drop him down the board. So wherever he does end up, I think they're going to get a really, really good player. I know tight ends can take a year or two to develop, but I actually think he could end up being like Laporta at the Lions last season. I think he could have an impactful year if he gets into a good team with a quarterback who can make use of him. Like, as I say, I love this player. If the Bears took him, I would absolutely not. They won't. They don't need that position now. But if they did, I wouldn't be against it, because I really, really think this player can have a special NFL career.
Dalton Kincaid, that's right. It reminds me of the Bills taking him last year, kind of that dual tight end who, you know, he could line up as a wide receiver, line up as a tight end. Just want to flip the defense before we close out this episode. Quinn Mitchell, Latu, well, Dallas Turner seems to be the standout pair in general, who's going to go first from the defensive side. And he's been linked so many drafts, so many mock drafts, to the Falcons. But again, as we touched on earlier on, if the Falcons move out, he could be a player that strategy falls down the board because of the other scenarios that are in play here with quarterbacks and players. He was jostling that he could find himself, you know, falling into the laps of a team, you know, 12, 13, 14, whatever the scenario is, who just doesn't go down that quarterback route, because he looks like a standout player. Some of his coverage, you watched from Alabama games last year, was fantastic. And again, if the Falcons are there, I'd be surprised if they didn't go this route. But again, we've seen so many times in the past, a player that's proposed to be top five through no fault of his own, nothing wrong with the workouts, nothing wrong with all the various different components that come with like getting ready for a draft, just because of the scenario in play, ends up going somewhere later. And he could fall into the laps of a team between 11 and 20 in 2 weeks' time.
He could. Look, Dallas Turner is basically, he's an athletic freak. Like, he is the specimen football player that all teams look at and want. The way he's built, the way he moves, you know, he definitely has a lot of upside. But I think, I don't know, if he doesn't go to Atlanta, you know, you kind of look at Atlanta and the Bears, and they're the ones that are kind of being tipped to maybe take him. If he doesn't go there, I think you're right. I think he could drop a little bit. I have a feeling if it came to the Bears, they may go Jared Verse before they would go Turner, because I think he fits the Bears. It's not that he's a better player than Turner. I think he's a slightly different player than Turner that might slot into Chicago's defense a little better than Turner. Look, again, you said it, he is a really good player. He has all the intangibles that you want from a football player, And still, he will still be in that top 12, 13, 14. I think, you know, again, who knows? We say it's fluid. Anything can happen. But he's definitely a player who, if he comes in and he kind of does what people expect he can do, he could be a good player. But again, we just wait and see. We see how it all plays out, as you say, in front of him. There are just so many different scenarios now that we're kind of going through. Week on week, it seems to change. This player goes up, that player goes down. This team want this, now they want that. You know, it's just, we kind of wait and see. But he is a good player. He is a player who will probably, as I say, go top 12, 13. It's just going to be fascinating to see who really sees him. Do teams see him as that number one defensive player on the board where they want to kind of, you know, make that shot and go for him?
I don't know if Noel's making his, you know, outlandish punt on the draft. Jared Verse, 8-1 with our partners, Quinn Bet, to be the first defensive player is selected. Dallas Turner, 1-2 on. We will be back on Thursday live as we prepare for the draft. We're going to start with the top end and work our way down. We're going to start with 22, down to 21. We're going to discuss all the various different teams and what they can be doing. And we'll do that week in, week out until we get to draft night. And obviously then we've got a lot of coverage to come draft week, including a number of different interviews over the course of next week's draft-centric, draft-heavy. Can't wait for the 25th of April. Noel, appreciate your time. As always, looking forward to the next time round.
Absolutely, Brian. Can't wait for to keep this talk going. What a great time to be a football fan when it comes to this kind of draft build-up.
Yeah, arguably the biggest night of the year. Can't wait.